This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. Another trading week, just a few hours away from wrapping up. I'm Cisco Cotto. Entrepreneur Friday, a company taking advantage of the backs of semi-trucks for ads, and U.S. automakers seeing sales rise here in the U.S. as they are increasingly staying out of Europe. Reports on consumer confidence and retail sales lead today's data. We'll see what they say about the economy in our next segment. Right now, let's get an update on the finalists for this year's Chicago Innovation Awards. WBBM is a proud media sponsor of Chicago Innovation. Luke Tannen is joining us, Executive Director of Chicago Innovation. Luke, before we get into some of the trends here, why don't we talk about Chicago Innovation and the Chicago Innovation Awards for people who maybe aren't familiar with it. Tell them, give them kind of a thumbnail.
Sure. So Chicago Innovation is in its 18th year. We focus on educating, connecting, and celebrating innovators of all types throughout the Chicago region, big companies, startups, all industries, for-profits, nonprofits. Events every month, a handful of programs, one to support kids, another to support women, a new one we just launched to support older adults. But one of the biggest things we do is the Chicago Innovation Awards. And that's right now, we're in the midst of our awards season. So we started with 450 nominees, and just 3 days ago, we announced the top 100 finalists, and then we'll be honoring the final 25 winners on October 28th at this year's awards ceremony.
So talk about some of the trends as you get the top 100 finalists here. What are we seeing among the people who are really doing big things here in Chicago?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, you know, innovation is what is driving economic growth in the Chicago region. So we looked at the data of all 450 nominees, and we found that combined, their new products and services generated $13.9 billion in new revenues, which, by the way, makes our nominees the 126th biggest economy in the world, right ahead of Armenia. They also generated over 10,000 jobs, raised $2.4 billion in capital, and created over 1,000 patents. So it's the innovators that are really moving economic growth forward in the city.
Surprising to see the number of nonprofits included in this top 100 list. It's not just people who are out there necessarily looking for money, although nonprofits need money too, but it's people looking to make a difference in a variety of ways.
Exactly. And, you know, really at the end of it, innovation is all about problem solving. And so the social services sector, there's a lot of phenomenal problem solvers in Chicago, ranging from homelessness and hunger to income inequality. And so this year we actually saw 10% of our nominees were nonprofits, which was twice as many as last year. So on one side you could say, oh, I guess there's more problems. But on the other side, it's, well, there's more problem solvers. So there's a phenomenal vibrant nonprofit sector in the city.
And let's talk about one of the finalists called Young Invincibles. They have a free app and website. Tell us about them.
Yeah, well, this is just a fascinating one. It's one of the top 100 finalists. So their free app and website called Streetlight Chicago, it allows people who suffer from homelessness the ability to reserve beds at homeless shelters throughout the city in real time and with consistently updated information. So no longer, you know, hoping that a homeless shelter has a space for you. You can know in advance and you can actually reserve it.
And another one, Lanza Tech. Tell us about them. I am fascinated by Lanza Tech.
Yeah, so Lanza Tech developed a process. They use an ancient bacteria to convert pollution plus bacteria into fuel that can provide a usable, reusable source of energy. And what's just amazing about this company, they have 500 patents on this technology. And just so everyone knows, it's very hard to get one patent, let alone 500. So they are doing some really groundbreaking things at Lanza Tech.
Yeah, those are just two good ones. There's 98 other really, really good ones among the top 100 finalists for the Chicago Innovation Awards. Thank you so much, Luke Tannen, Executive Director of Chicago Innovation. Lots of really great stuff going on here in Chicago.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Consumers are weighing in on the economy via a monthly survey and through their buying habits. We welcome David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors, based in Denver, author of the book Understanding Central Banking. David, let's begin with consumer confidence here. It jumped, and with a lot of the things we've been seeing in the news, that may be a bit surprising, but consumers feeling a little more confident.
Good news on the consumer side in general. that early September estimate by the University of Michigan on how the consumer feels is a good one. It hints at the fact that consumers may be feeling a little bit more upbeat with the trade concerns moderating a little bit in hopes of trade talks with China. I think that psychology had been so negative that it had spilled over from the business sector into consumers. But now with a little bit better news and generally with this excellent employment situation for consumers and wages growing, consumer spending is likely to pick up. Remember, consumers are carrying the economy on their back.
Yeah, we have retail sales going up, too. I don't know for sure if there is a clear cause there, but at least a correlation.
Oh, indeed. They don't work together month by month necessarily, but if consumers feel better, you can count on spending going up. In August, spending went up mainly because of autos, but the month before, spending was really strong. So what we can say is consumers that account for 70% of total spending are still optimistic and they're likely to spend and they'll carry the economy forward in the second half of this year.
Now, how long is that sustainable where consumers really are carrying the economy?
Well, as long as the employment situation stays good, that jobs number, the latest one we got on September 6th, is the key, and it was a decent jobs number. And remember that unemployment rate is 3.7%, something like the lowest in 50 years. As long as that job situation stays as strong as it is, I think we can count on consumer spending to carry the economy.
And so you have a lot of people for a while who have essentially been talking the economy down, you know, this good run, it can only last so long. Really, it seems, though, like it can only last as long as it lasts. I mean, it could keep going for a while.
Perfect point. Expansions, and remember, this is another record 11-year economic expansion we're in. They don't die of old age. And with consumers as strong as they are, it's going to keep going. I think the Fed may even help a little bit next week with another quarter-point rate cut. The Fed is making sort of a mid-cycle adjustment. We're not going to get a lot of rate cuts from the Fed, but I think we'll be even more upbeat next week when we get at least a quarter-point cut.
Yeah, and does any of this, it seems like day-to-day there's sort of mixed data. What's the Fed to do in a situation like this?
Well, let's go by what our good Fed chairman Powell said in Switzerland back on September 6th. He said, the economy's in a good place. I intend to keep it that way. That said to me that we will get some of these small rate cuts just as an insurance policy to keep this thing going. So most everything is pointing upward despite all that doom and gloom earlier when the markets thought we might be going into recession.
Good insight. Thanks so much. David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors, author of the book Understanding Central Banking. Up next, pot companies are looking for industrial and retail space. It's not always easy to find, though.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
With legalized pot coming to Illinois, businesses are looking to get in on the ground floor. Let's discuss finding space for cannabis growth and sales. John Pletz is a reporter with Crain's Chicago Business. John, good to have you with us. I guess it's something a lot of people didn't think about is people are going to need space to grow this and sell it and in general just run their cannabis businesses.
Yes, they are. I mean, it's a real estate play on a lot of levels. The challenge, of course, is that because it's federally illegal, it's really hard to line up the money or even line up the space to do it.
So let's talk about New Lake Capital Partners. This is a group that's trying to make it easier to rent space and get cannabis companies going.
Yeah, absolutely. They've raised, I think, about $90 million, and it's a fund set up specifically to help companies in the cannabis space handle the real estate issue, particularly the dispensaries. A lot of times, cannabis companies have found a location, said, hey, this is a great one to open, and the landlord says, whoa, wait, we can't do this. And that's because, usually it's because it's technically illegal at the federal level. So they want to jump in and fix that problem.
It's sort of an important middleman, not only, I would guess, to get landlords on board, but just scouting out secure locations, areas that they can actually keep the stuff away from people who might want to take it.
Right. I mean, that's a separate operational issue. This is purely just from the transaction side that you've got two problems. One, real estate's expensive, and for anybody getting into the cannabis business, it's a big part of the expenses. So if you can sort of offload that, and then you have a situation that gets complicated because someone who owns the property says, well, hey, I can't rent to you. The idea is that this this fund would come in, purchase the property, and they would happily rent to the cannabis company.
And
so
of course,
that's sort of the upshot.
I mean, they're banking on the continued growth. I mean, the fact that they expect pot businesses to be pretty profitable.
But not only profitable, but it's just a growth industry. You know, this is a business that didn't exist for all intents and purposes 5 years ago. And that's really what's interesting here. If you look at the parties, you know, some of the guys involved in this, you know, Al Goldstein has done a number of startups in other, you know, unrelated fields. Pete Cadens had been an entrepreneur who had done an energy startup. Then he did get into the cannabis business, was one of the co-founders of GTI. And so it's really interesting that you've got a bunch of entrepreneurs and investors who just look at this and say, wow, there's a huge growth opportunity here. This business is going to take off. You know, how can I get into this? That's what entrepreneurs do.
Thanks so much, John Pletz. You're absolutely right. John is a reporter for Crane's Chicago Business. Still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, using technology to create more effective advertising on trucks.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. American automakers once felt doing business in Europe was a key to success, but that is changing. Entrepreneur Friday, taking truck billboards to the next level with eye-catching graphics. The Chicago Fire Soccer Club has a new majority owner. An Illinois congressman says he expects parental concern and public pressure will fuel a federal ban on flavored e-cigarettes. Actress Felicity Huffman will be in court this afternoon to be sentenced for her role in a college admissions bribery case. On Wall Street, the Dow up 53, NASDAQ down 13, the S&P is flat. Oil is also flat today. More and more sunshine as the day goes along and the clouds thin. We're heading to a high of 78 degrees. Right now, it's 74 degrees in Chicagoland. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Billionaire Morningstar founder Joe Mansueto has taken full ownership of the Chicago Fire soccer team after buying a 49% stake in the club last year. To talk about it, we're joined by Danny Ecker, reporter at Crane's Chicago Business. Danny, give us some details about this. What you know?
Yeah, so it's been a busy week for the Fire. They're poised to move their games down to Soldier Field starting next year, and now Joe Mansueto, the billionaire Morningstar founder, as you mentioned, he had the minority investment in the team last year, and now he's ending the 12-year run of ownership by Andrew Houtman, a California investor, and he's taken over. So it's a new era for the Fire, and it's going to be really interesting to see what he does. Obviously, a very, very well-capitalized powerhouse investor and a very well-connected Chicago businessman who's betting here on the future of the MLS and the future of a club that's been trying to build its brand in the city. And he's taken over at a time when they're going to make a big splash at Soldier Field.
You think the move to Soldier Field, because that had been talked about for a while, do you think that had anything to do with this?
I'm sure that, that was a focus for him. This is something that was done. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that this was announced right after the Chicago Park District voted earlier this week to finally basically hash out the deals of a lease between the Fire and Soldier Field. And, you know, he's taken them at a time where they can really, he can invest heavily in marketing the team in the city. And there's certainly wind in the sails of the Fire right now. And it's just going to be really interesting to see what he does to take them into this sort of next chapter of the club.
And a question for other sports teams is, are the Fire able to sort of grow a new fan base from people who maybe aren't all that interested in sports? Or do they, even if it's a little bit, little by little, maybe take away from some of the other sports?
You know, soccer overall has grown in popularity. You know, the MLS has expanded dramatically since Hauptmann bought the team. And when he bought the team, there were 13 teams in the MLS. Now there are 24 this year. You know, there's a lot of soccer fans out there. And the theory has been that the Fire playing in suburban Bridgeview has just been a hurdle that has kind of kept a lot of, you know, potentially casual fans out. So I don't see this as in any way encroaching on the territory of other teams, but certainly it's an opportunity for the Fire to just be more easily accessible to young people in the city who want to catch a game. And, you know, that opens up a lot of different opportunities from them from a revenue standpoint and sponsorship standpoint and just, you know, continuing to build their fan base.
Yeah, it'll be really, really fun to watch. Thank you, Danny Ecker, reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Billionaire Morningstar founder Joe Mansueto, now full owner of the Chicago Fire. Markets, not a lot of movement today. Let's see what's going on. Gary Kaltbaum is joining us, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management, also a Fox News business contributor. His website, GaryK.com. Gary, what are you seeing on Wall Street today?
Well, not a lot of movement, but a lot of jello moving on the plate the last week or so. You've had a major reallocation, major rotation out of everything that was working for the last year into everything that was comatose, and I don't think this is a one-off. It may last a while. So you now have financials that have been basically dead for 18 months ramping. You have oils, commodities, transport, and the value area of the market kicking in gear, while growth is down between 5 to 15% in the last 7 or 8 days. You wouldn't know it by the Dow. So a complete change of scenery. It has everything to do with yields. We were going through this big bond market, bull market. We topped out, and the bond market, for lack of a better word, in the last 7-8 days is crashing, and that's just changed the whole playing field.
Now, we saw a debate last night with the Democrats. Obviously, we have an election that is upcoming. As an investor who's thinking about the long run, do you at all begin playing politics or thinking through politics when making your investment decisions? Because the 2020 election, it could just be very different how Wall Street is impacted.
Well, if one was wealthy, I'd be watching the poll numbers for Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren big time, as they have not, and this is not an opinion, this is fact, they are going after wealth, not only taxing it, but confiscation by, it's not even a wealth tax, it's just, they're going to tax the wealth you have. So if you were wealthy, and I'm pretty sure people in that range are already speaking to their accountants and looking at other countries because they are driving to the hoop on how much they want to take out of people's hides that have earned a lot of money in the recent decades.
Yeah, something to keep tabs on, I guess, for quite a while now until the election. A couple of stocks, one stock and one prospective stock that we want to talk about. First off, Cloudflare seems to be popping.
It is, but be careful. It's another company brought public by the Wall Street investment banks that loses money, and it's trading at 25 times sales, not earnings, sales. And most of these stocks that have come public in the last year have been crushed once they open up. They did it with Uber and Lyft. I can list about 50 to 100 names that are way underwater that the media doesn't talk about and are not less, that are less well known. So just be careful and know what's underneath the surface, and just because something opens up hot doesn't mean it's going to stay hot.
Another thing, losing money, and Wall Street's taking a look at it, sort of on again, off again love affair here, that is WeWork. Started out with a $47 billion private valuation. It's now something like $15 billion or even less than that.
Well, I got news for you. They're talking 10 now, and if I were the people at WeWork, I wouldn't be bringing them public because you're going to get some serious lawsuits. The last private equity buy was at $47 billion. So you're telling those people if you go public at $10 billion, you're down in the 70s. That would be a huge mistake. Just complete unraveling and complete stupidity by the investment banks and how they handle this thing for the last year. They have bad corporate functions. They have too much debt. The way they handled the CEO selling $700 million of stock, and doing these little closely held deals back and forth to each other. Just bad news. And the other part of the equation, they have long-term leases and short-term rent, and that is not good news when all is said and done, and the market knows it.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Thank you. We'll keep tabs on it and have you back soon. Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. His website, GaryK.com.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and this afternoon we are spotlighting a Chicago company taking truck billboards to a higher level. We welcome to the program Dan Salganik, president of Komoot.com, based here in Chicago. Dan, welcome to the show. For people who are not familiar with Komoot, tell us about it.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. So Komoot was essentially launched from me sitting in traffic for a very long time, coming from a marketing background and thinking to myself, why are we not utilizing the backs of these white truck trailers and the size of these trailers for advertising? And coming from a digital marketing background, I realized, you know what, it's just not enough to say, hey, here's an ad. So myself and my team, we decided to create a machine learning and AI-based company utilizing cameras to understand impression time, the number of impressions, cars, people, bikes around the trucks, and basically be able to understand who is seeing our ads on the sides and the backs of trailers, and how we could be more effective and more efficient than billboards.
And that seems to be where the real money is, right? I mean, it's one thing to have an ad up there. A lot of people do that. But to be able to have that data, that seems like where the money is.
Yeah, so actually that was a big reason of, you know, why we wanted to launch this company is we say we're kind of like a data company wrapped around a truck marketing company. And I do agree, you know, as a marketing person, we're always asking, where's the data? Who saw my ads? Are my ads making money, et cetera? So we realized that we can't build this business without being a data company.
And trucking companies are making money off of this as well, I mean, I would assume, for having the ads up there.
Yeah, so the model is actually very similar to Airbnb in the sense that they have an asset that they're willing to rent out to us. We either rent out the back of the trailer for, you know, one sum of money, and then we rent out the full trailer for, you know, obviously more. And then we charge, you know, based on those ad sizes for our customers, which are the big brands and different ad agencies that want to advertise on the truck.
So you say you have cameras on the trucks. Are they actually keeping track of how long eyeballs are on the ads? Is it that advanced yet?
Not yet, because we, you know, obviously there is glare and everything from the actual inside of the cars. And just to kind of precursor, everything is 100% anonymized, going through secure servers, et cetera. But what we're doing is we're tracking the actual cars, the makes, the models, the years. It's something called neural network. So we're learning as we're going to become as smart of a company as possible. But we are tracking, you know, how long is this car in visible sight of our trucks? So that even though we're not necessarily measuring the eyeball per se because we're not sitting on a computer, we are measuring, you know, is this car within a reasonable distance from the truck where it's able to see the advertisement? And generally speaking, that advertisement length is a lot longer than the billboard, because if you're sitting in traffic, which many of us do, you're kind of stuck staring in front of you. And you can't really look to the sides through your peripherals for too long. Otherwise, you're losing track of your, you know, your driving.
Yeah, you really do have a captive audience. Really fascinating. It'll be good to keep in touch with you and see how things grow. Dan Salganik, president of Komoot.com here in Chicago, our Friday entrepreneur. Still to come, why American automakers are looking away from Europe these days.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The European market is not what it once was for U.S. car makers. Also, it's a crucial time for manufacturers and the Auto Workers Union. To talk about it, we're joined by Jeff Gilbert, CBS Auto reporter based in Detroit. Jeff, it used to be automakers really wanted to be in Europe. Not so much anymore. What's going on here?
Well, I just got back from the Frankfurt Auto Show, and this used to be the biggest show in the world. All the major CEOs would be there. They would have a ton of new products. Well, GM is pretty much out of the European market. Fiat Chrysler is only really selling the Fiat and the Jeep side, and they didn't even exhibit there. Ford's exhibit was half the size of what it used to be as it tries to turn its operations around, and there's kind of an air of possibly impending recession in Europe. So all of that combined to put a pretty good damper on the show.
And is there, you're talking about some of the difficulties in Europe, is it regulatory, is it wages? It seems in general like it's tough for U.S. automakers to do business there.
Well, yeah, I mean, GM had kept posting losses, and they finally decided, enough, we'll sell a few big products like Corvettes and a few Cadillacs and sell off our operations to a French car maker. Ford, this is, I don't know, like the third or fourth turnaround that I can remember. They still feel that the market is good, but they've allied with Volkswagen, so they're working together. So, you know, the American car makers are really focusing on the North American market and China.
Also focusing on some of these deals with the unions, and there's been some challenges there. Tell us about this.
Yeah, it's a big challenge because there's a big investigation. Another indictment yesterday against the director of UAW's Region 5, and that's the region that the UAW president comes from. His house was raided last week, and in the indictment, there are a couple of unnamed union officials that reportedly are the current president and the past president, and this indictment mentions those two officials as essentially using union money for condos, for personal use, for expensive cigars, even to buy golf clubs.
Seems like this presents a challenge, really, for the rank and file in all of this as these negotiations heat up.
Well, it does, and in this particular case, the negotiators are focusing on General Motors, and there's a lot of thought that if the negotiations continue, and there's some thought that they may have to be put on hold to sort this out, but if they continue and they do have some sort of tentative contract, will the union members approve it? So that's why a lot of experts feel a strike could be brewing again if the contract isn't put on hold. I mean, we're in very uncharted territory here.
Jeff Gilbert, CBS auto reporter based in Detroit. Thanks for being with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.